well here tonight. I don't even know what that was. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Advent is here. Well, Advent was here on Sunday as well. There are more people here tonight than there were on Sunday morning, but I can't blame you for that. Certainly understandable, and no guilt to you for not having been able to make it on Sunday morning. Safety first, right? But Advent has been here since Sunday morning. We've been in the season of Advent for three whole days now. This is the fourth day of Advent, and we are in this season of preparation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. During this Advent season, we reflect on the common decorations that we see all around us during this time of year. So tonight, we'll reflect, and then next Wednesday, and then the Wednesday after that, and even into the Christmas season, we'll be talking about the types of things that decorate our homes and our schools and our sanctuaries during this type of season, because they help us to prepare for the coming Christ. So this week of Advent, we're going to focus on how evergreen decorations help us to prepare for the coming Christ. And if you look around you this time of year, you're going to see greenery everywhere, aren't you? Garlands and wreaths and trees all over the place. How many of you have your tree up in your home already? About half of you. Okay. All right. That's good. We like it, don't we? We like to, especially in this time of year, be able to bring that greenery inside. We decorate with all different types of conifer trees, with spruce and pine and fir. We also have all the other broadleaf evergreens like holly and ivy. And we love to sing songs that celebrate those evergreen decorations. Think about O Tannenbaum, right? O Christmas Tree. Or there's a hymn from about 100 years ago. It's not in our hymnal, but the holly and the ivy. It's a wonderful Christmas hymn. And indeed, the Christmas tree has become the universal symbol of the Christmas season. Trees are displayed everywhere throughout the world. It's not just us here in the United States, and they're displayed in homes, in offices, in town centers, in shopping centers. All sorts of public spaces will display Christmas trees this time of year. But how many of them truly understand what it is that's being celebrated by that particular decoration? Even here in our sanctuary, we will be decorating on Saturday, so just a little plug for that. If you've got some time on Saturday morning and would like to come and help decorate our sanctuary for Christmas. I couldn't help myself, though, because talking about evergreens this evening, I had to bring a little bit of the decoration in before Saturday. So you see our wreaths on the walls over here and on the face of the balcony up there. We had to get a little bit of evergreen into our space this evening. On Saturday, though, we'll have a live Christmas tree that'll be in the corner over there. Some real evergreen, not the fake stuff that's on the wall right now. Some real stuff which will not just look great, but also smell great as well. Right? And all of this, all of these decorations, these evergreens that we bring into our space here, have a churchly significance to them. They point us to spiritual truths. Why is it that we display evergreens in our church and in our homes as Christian people? It's not just for the aesthetic value to make our places look festive and pretty. There's a deeper significance to them. And to help us understand what that is, we have to go back to the very origins of the use of evergreen decorations during this season of Advent and Christmas. Historians tell us that these decorations were first used in Europe during the medieval times. The use of the Christmas tree appeared in Northern Europe around 1000 AD. Usually it would be a small fir tree that would be taken out of the forest and brought into the house and set up. And by 1400 AD, Christmas trees were commonly found in German homes. Have you heard this? Well, it's a myth, but that Martin Luther kind of popularized the Christmas tree. That's what I used to believe because somebody told me that when I was young. But the Christmas tree was in use for almost 500 years before Martin Luther even came around. And they'd bring the fir tree out of the forest and into the house, set it up, and then they would decorate it with apples and nuts and pretzels and wafers and gingerbread, all sorts of great tree things that would be stacked on the boughs of the tree. Not like today where we put LED lighting and shiny ornaments on them. Not that those things are bad, they are just fine, but a little bit different form of decoration back then. Furthermore, December 24th was observed as the feast day of Adam. Interestingly enough, during which a paradise play was presented. And that drama reenacted the events that took place with Adam and Eve in paradise that are depicted in the opening chapters of the Bible. And in that play, a fir tree represented the tree of life. Because Christians associated that evergreen tree with life for that winter festival. And around that same time, garland made of green holly and ivy began to appear in England during that same time of the year, during Advent and Christmas. So Christians would decorate their churches, their houses, and their streets with all sorts of evergreen branches in all sorts of forms and shapes. They would even wrap a pole with evergreens, with garland, in a kind of wintertime maypole tradition. This presented the hope of life, even in the midst of the death of winter. Because green is a symbol of life, because living plants are green. In cold climates, as we know certainly here where we live, many plants lose their green in the winter, and they appear completely lifeless. I'm sure there have been many times where I have pulled things out of the ground which probably would have come back in the spring because I thought that they were dead, because that's what they looked like in wintertime. But evergreen plants such as spruce and fir and pine and holly trees, they retain their green leaves in the wintertime. They become symbols of life when all the other plants around them appear dead. Moreover, evergreens are a symbol of eternal life. That's because they are evergreen, eternally green. They prevail over death, even in the dead of winter. So remember that the fir tree symbolized the tree of life for those Christians in the Middle Ages. In the Bible, that tree of life offered eternal life to all who ate its fruit. So accordingly, Christians in the Middle Ages had decorated their homes and their churches during Advent and Christmas to remind them of that gift of eternal life that Jesus' Advent offers to them. Christ's first coming was to restore eternal life that had been lost when our first parents fell into sin. In paradise, Adam and Eve had access to that tree of life, as depicted by a fir tree in that medieval paradise play. But they forfeited that eternal life that they had access to by sinning. And then thorns infested the ground as a symbol of the curse that was upon them and all humanity because of them, as a symbol of the death that came into the world because of what our ancestors did. But then Jesus, the second Adam, came to restore life that was lost in humanity's fall. In his advent, 2,000 years ago, God the Son came as a human being to give his life so that sinners might receive eternal life. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." He brought life to us, even through a thorny crown and through his sacrificial death on the cross, where he exchanged his life for the death that we deserved. The evergreen holly branch is associated with Christ's death also because its thorny leaves remind us of the crown of thorns that Jesus wore on his head as he hung upon the cross. And the red berries remind us of the drops of blood that fell from his head as he hung on the cross. As his death destroyed death, and his resurrection restored life. Jesus proclaims in the gospel reading that we just heard, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." Through Christ's first advent, you and I have been given the gift of eternal life. God, the Holy Spirit, indwells us and empowers us with his life. And he compares himself to an evergreen tree. We heard it from Hosea. I don't know if you caught it, but the very last verse of that reading from Hosea, "I am like an evergreen cypress. From me comes your fruit." God is our never-ending source of life and of fruitfulness. But that's not all. Jesus' return will inaugurate a new creation in which sin and death no longer exist. We just heard that in the Bible, evergreens are associated with this new creation, which brings the reversal of sin's curse, and it brings to us the blessings of eternal life. So again, recall that evergreens are associated with the tree of life, which we will have access to when Jesus comes again. Adam and Eve were barred from the garden. And I just talked to the confirmands about this. What a beautiful gospel message that is, that Adam and Eve were barred from the garden. Doesn't sound like gospel, does it? It sounds a whole lot like law, but in reality it's gospel. Because that angel there that was with flaming swords was guarding that garden so that Adam and Eve could not return. If they had returned, they would have eaten from that tree of life and they would have lived forever in the sin and mess that we currently live in. What gospel it is that Jesus kept them from that. What gospel it is that Jesus keeps us from that until the time is right, and the time will be right when he returns again. We will have access to that tree of life when Jesus comes back and he returns us to his home with him. It's described in the final chapter of the Bible, which we just heard from Revelation. On either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed. The tree of life is ever bearing. It's ever green. It's bestowing the fruit of everlasting life. And that life is ours because of Christ's first and his second advents. These evergreen decorations, the few that we have in our midst right now, the many more that will be coming later this week, the ones that you have in your own homes, they're made of pine and spruce and fir and holly trees, and they're a clear sign of this joyous season that we're now in. And the reason is because they convey a powerful message. Evergreen symbolizes everlasting life. And that's what Christmas, and that's what Advent are all about. The eternal life that Jesus won for us at his first coming, which we will experience fully at his second coming. So every time you look at those decorations, whether it's when you step here into our sanctuary, or the ones that are at your own homes, or the ones that you find out there in the rest of the world, every time you look at those evergreen decorations, remember this message. Jesus has come, and he will come again to give you everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.